This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
And you're listening to That's the Ticket. Today I'm pleased to be checking out a new play. Dylan and Reese from A Check Gambit are here on TTT to give me the tea on this new play by Russell Armitage and directed by Lorna Ashton. Kia ora team, welcome to That's the Ticket. You guys are both first timers, right?
Yes. Yep.
First time on the show. I mean, we're about 30 seconds in. How are we feeling?
We're feeling fine. We're feeling good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Reese, you hesitated. Come on, man. No. Okay.
I'm a little nervous.
You're a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
It's okay. I was nervous to meet you as well. Fun fact: Reese is your father is a semi-regular guest on That's the Ticket, right? Glenn,
yes.
Friend of the show. You're already doing better than Glenn, so you know there's that. That's a joke. Also, Glenn. Glenn and I are friends. If you're listening and being like, why am I shading on Glenn? It's because we are good friends. But already I've gone off topic. It's a thing I do, so you guys need to try and keep me on track, okay?
Yeah.
But so you guys are in A Check Gambit, a new play. And I guess I always like to ask people, like, when is it? Where is it? What is it? Like, how's the show feeling today? So if you guys are down for that, please tell me more about it. And it is up to you guys how, like, air quotes, spoilery you get. Mm-hmm. So who's ready to tell me more about it?
I'll go first. So we open on the 27th of June.
Yep.
And we have a show on the 27th, 28th. Then we take a break for a couple of days, come back on Wednesday, the 1st of July, have a show on the 2nd, 3rd, matinee on the 4th, and then an evening show on the 4th as well, and then we close out
two show
season. Day. Yeah.
Okay, and you're down at the Meteor Theatre, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. And so, as I mentioned, this one's written by Russell Armitage, directed by Lorna Ashton, and this is the, like, premiere of this piece, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Premiere in New Zealand, yes.
Okay. Has it premiered overseas?
It was premiered in the Czech Republic in 2023.
Okay, great.
Russell, the playwright, got it commissioned for a chess festival in 2023.
Wow.
And performed it, got a cast together over there and performed it at the chess festival over there in 2023.
Okay, and now you guys are doing it here.
Yes.
No pressure.
Exactly.
You can feel a little bit of pressure. And so I guess because it's called A Check Gambit and you've already kind of alluded to the chessness of it, can I guess that the play is a little bit about chess related?
Might be.
Yeah.
It is about the Czechoslovakian chess player Lubomir Kovalik.
Okay.
He was one of the world's youngest competitors in chess in the, like, going on 50s.
Mm.
He was 15 when he competed in his first world championship.
Wow.
So back in those days, it was like, a kid's doing this?
What? Yeah.
So, yeah. And then he went on continuing doing chess championships and, yeah, just continue playing chess for the rest of his life, pretty much.
Okay, so it's following this guy. And are you playing this guy?
Yes.
Okay. And Reese, who are you playing?
I'm playing young Lubomir, who's the chess player.
Okay, chess prodigy. You're like young. Sorry, how do you say the name again?
Lubomir, or
Lubomir.
A lot of the time he's Lubosh.
Lubosh. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go with Lubosh.
Yes.
Okay, so I've got two Luboshes in studio right now.
Yes, you
okay.
do.
Okay. Right, and so are you like chess Lubosh, because you're like 14, right?
Mm.
Okay, and he started competing when he was like 15. So are you in that era?
No, I'm
no,
playing
you're pre.
The 6 to 12 year old.
Okay, well, bro's got range. Well done. And okay, have you been playing a lot of actual chess in preparation?
Yes. To be honest, I didn't really play chess going into this, so
yeah.
It was a bit of a shock. But yeah, learning how to play chess and going through it and
yeah.
just preparing as in having to do it on stage and everything, so yeah. Don't want to mess anything up.
No, yeah. Okay, Reese, do you play chess?
Yeah.
Are you good? You seem like you might be good.
I'm not that good.
Oh, really, bro? Okay, we can play later. then we'll see. I'm actually not that good. My sister friend at the show, Kyoto Dr. Mooney, is quite good at chess. To the point where sometimes I feel like she, because I'm so bad at chess, like I always play it safe, and so she starts making risks just to like make the game more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's a whole other level playing it on stage because obviously, well, obvious, I'm estimating here that there are some very like, there will be chess in the script, and so you have to reflect the chess that is described in the script, and so you've got to like deliver your lines but also focus on the chess but make it seem like you're actually playing chess.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
how
great.
It sounds.
So. Yeah, man, good luck.
Yeah.
And so how long have you guys been working on this show?
So we had our first get-together in December of last year.
Okay, great.
So it's been a while, but we just had our first read-through in December.
Mm.
And then we've just gone away over the break and everything and come back in about April, I think it was, and started rehearsals and working together, getting to know everybody. And yeah, so it's been pretty good. Yeah, opening very soon, so
yeah.
Very excited.
Yes, and how many Lou Boshes are there? Is there just the two of you, or is there another one after you?
So there is the two. There is
okay.
Young Lou Bosch.
Yeah, which is you, Reese.
And then there is older / young man, youth Lou Bosch, who plays him from the age of 16 to his 20s.
Okay.
Then there's also our father, who's also called Lou Bosch.
Yes,
okay, that's
right.
Not confusing in the slightest. No, I'm
not
kidding.
At
I'm
all.
Kidding. Okay, and who's playing your father?
Peter.
Okay, Kelder Peter. And I guess, Reese, this isn't your first time on stage because I'm doing this thing now that I often do is where I talk to you off air and then I bring it onto the show because you tell me stuff and I'm like, you know what, let's talk about it now again. But this isn't your first time on stage, eh?
No, it's not.
Okay, what number show? Do you keep count?
Not really, but it's not to me that I can't count.
Yeah. Because, like, when you sat down, I'm like, oh, you're in Firebringer, eh? And you're in Our Town, and you're like, yeah, yeah. And you love acting, right?
Yeah, okay. A lot.
A lot?
Yep.
Okay, do you have a preference between plays or musicals?
Musicals, but I've never been in one.
Okay, still time, bro.
Yeah.
And Dylan, actually, you've done a bit of both as well.
Yes, so I've done my bachelor's degree at Wintec.
Yeah.
So I finished in 2024. And then I've done a couple of plays for Hamilton Playbox, which is also our director, Lorna, who I worked under. So it's good getting to work with her again on this.
Actually, I think I saw you. Were you in the Alo Alo?
Yes, I was.
The Camembert Caper. Yeah. That's all coming back to me now.
Mm-hmm.
And which do you prefer, plays or musicals?
I prefer musicals.
Oh.
It's sort of biased since I just did a whole degree about
that'll do
musicals.
It.
And
I mean, I'm not an actor, I'm not a performer, but I'm a sucker for musicals. It just gets me going. But that being said, I do love it when plays like this come through because it's really exciting to see new premieres from local playwrights. And also with this one, it's kind of that homecoming piece as well because it premiered, and overseas and now it's coming back and it's got that local cast, which is cool. And is it quite a sizable cast? Like, ballpark figures.
I think it's about maybe 9 or 10 of us, I think.
Okay.
So it's not too bad.
Yeah. Good mix. And, I mean, you guys have been working together, as you kind of have said, for a wee while. Well, kind of yes and no, because you had that break.
Yeah.
And, she's coming up quick. So as Dylan mentioned, A Check Gambit is running at the Meteor from the 27th of June to the 4th of July, 7:30 p.m. shows and a couple of matinees in there too. And tickets are available right now at themeteor.co.nz. So if you're driving, pull over, turn that car off, then book your tickets. Just safety first here. And I guess, so you've touched on Lorna's your director. Is there anyone else on the production team we need to shout out? Actually, I should shout out Liz, who organised this interview. Kelda, Liz, appreciate it.
Yes, and Liz is also in the cast as well.
Really?
So, yes.
Oh, crikey, sis be busy.
Yes, she's playing our mother.
Oh, well, okay. Great. It's a real family affair.
Yep.
It seems. Oh, crikey. Okay. And, I mean, you've talked about how the rehearsal process has been, you know, going on for a bit. Like, are you working with people in the cast who you've worked with before, or is it a bit of a mixed bag?
For me, it's sort of mixed because there is some people who were in Allo Allo who I've worked with. Jane Barnett.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Is in it. Russell, obviously, being in Allo Allo, being the playwright and also being in the cast as well. Lorna as well. Scarlett Edgar.
Mm.
She's also in the cast. Reese, I actually work with in Fantastic Mr. Fox in 2023.
Oh, were you in that one too, Reese?
Yeah.
Man, okay.
So I played Rat and he was one of the Fox children.
Okay.
So sort of had our first meeting then, but it's been a while since I've like seen him, and he's obviously shot up a lot since then. And
yes.
It's kind of scary him having to play the younger version of me, and yet he's almost the same height as me. So it's like, yeah. Okay.
I mean, well done on growing, bro. But what about you, Reese? Obviously, you've worked with Dylan, but have you worked with other people in the show as well before?
Yeah, I've worked with Scarlett a couple times, and I've worked with Liz and Lorna as in Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah.
And also, she was my first director when I was in Peter Pan.
Was that your first show?
Yeah.
Okay, what did you play?
I played Michael.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For your first show?
Yeah.
Okay, starting strong. Starting strong.
Yeah.
Oh, were you in the Sherlock Holmes one as
yes.
well? Okay. I'm pretty sure I've seen every show you've been in. It's just kind of occurring to me as we keep rattling off. Far out. Okay. Okay. Well, any other kind of performance highlights you want to list while we're here, Reese?
Being in my school play this year.
Okay.
It was a Shakespeare one.
What Shakespeare?
It was a Merry Wives of Windsor.
Oh, okay. All right. Great. Is it your first Shakespeare?
Yes.
How'd you find it?
I loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
You love Shakespeare?
Yeah.
Shakespeare's hard case, man. I mean, well done. Well done. Have you gone and seen Shakespeare's? Actually,
yeah.
Was your dad in the Summer Shakespeare this year?
Yeah.
Okay, how was he?
He was good, yeah.
Okay, great. I mean, you have to say that. He's probably listening to us right now. Dylan, have you done a Shakespeare yet?
Yes, actually, I've done the Merry Wives of Windsor as well.
You guys are playing each other, that's wild.
So I did it at the Hamilton Arts Festival in 2024.
Yes. Was that Kelsey Curtis directing
yes.
that? Yes. Friend of the show.
Yes.
Everyone ends up on That's the Ticket. It all comes back to
yes.
the Ticket.
So I did that and I played Sir Hugh Evans, which was really interesting having to do a Welsh accent.
Okay. I want to ask you to do it now. I won't.
Thank you.
who were you playing?
I was playing Bardolph the Old Man.
Okay, I mean, that joke writes itself, because as we have mentioned, you're 14 years old, and they're like, you know what, old man energy. How was that? Did you ask your dad for tips? Again, that's a joke.
No, I just, I gradually aged my character every show. He happened to get older and older as
okay.
the show went on.
How old was he by the end?
Over 200.
Okay, well, and then for this one, you're aging, you're going down a little bit. You're playing someone younger than you actually are.
Yep.
Okay, I mean, that's probably easier because at least you've experienced being that age, right?
Yeah.
You've got some kind of knowledge in that space. But now I'm going to, I guess, age us all a little bit and play a track. And it's a song that I've picked, and it's fairly obvious, but because, as we've talked about, a Czech Gambit is low-key about chess, I've gone for a song from the musical Chess. Are you familiar with this?
I've heard of it and heard some of the songs from the musical Chess, but
okay.
haven't seen it or anything like that.
It's a vibe. It's an 80s banger. So I've gone for a song, One Night in Bangkok. And yeah, I guess I want to dedicate this actually to my brother Wayne, because it's one of his favourite musicals and he did it when he was at high school. So I guess this one is for Wayne.
Bangkok, Oriental sitting in the city, don't know what the city is getting. The creme de la creme of the chess world in a show with everything but Yul Brynner. Time flies, doesn't seem a minute since the Tyrolean spa had the chess bars in it. All change, don't you know that when you play at this level, there's no ordinary venue. It's Iceland, or the Philippines, or Hastings, or this place.
One night in Bangkok, in the world's your oyster. The bars are temples, but the pearls ain't free. You'll find a god in every golden oyster. And if you're lucky, then the god's a she. I can feel an angel sliding up to me.
One town's very like another when your head's down over your pieces, brother.
It's a drag, it's a bore, it's sweet as such a pity to be looking at the bar, not looking at the city.
You've seen one crowded, polluted, thinking town. Get tired, you're talking to a tourist whose every move's among the purest. I get my kids above the waistline, sunshine.
One night in Bangkok makes the heart man humble. Not much between despair and ecstasy. One night in
watching the game, controlling it. I don't see you guys rating the kind of mate I'm contemplating. I'd let you watch, I would invite you, but the queens we use would not excite you. So you better go back to your bars, your temples, your massage parlors.
One night in Bangkok, in the world's your oyster. The bars are temples, but the pearls ain't free.
That was One Night in Bangkok, absolute banger from Chess the Musical. Fitting, because we've kind of just been talking about a new play that features some chess, is low-key about a chess grandmaster. Did he get to grandmaster level?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. I want to be backing a winner, and you guys are the winners that I'm backing, because you're portraying Lu Bon, who was an actual person, like a child kind of prodigy and grandmaster at chess. Is it weird playing someone who, like, is an actual person?
To me, yes, because when I first got cast, well, when Lorna approached me, she was like, you actually do look a little bit like
the man.
So I was like, oh, okay. And then I see photos now and I'm like, oh, okay. I sort of do see the little bit of resemblance between me and him, which is a tiny bit scary.
Yeah. Okay. And then I guess, is it weird, Reese, playing someone, like, you're playing a version of an actual person, but you're also playing a version of Dylan playing a version of an actual person. Did that make sense?
Yes, that made sense, but also it's very weird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's weird, but go see the play, guys. We should stop using the word weird. And I guess, have you done much research into the actual person, or have you just been focusing on the script at hand?
So we have been doing a tiny bit of research about him, because this script was written from his memoir.
Oh, okay, great.
So when Russell wrote it, he wrote it on the memoir that Lubomir wrote, which was called A Life at Play, A Chess Memoir.
Oh, great, great title. I mean, don't judge a memoir by its cover, but that's a real strong start.
Yeah, so he had written that, and then Russell just went through and seen each timeline and what he did in each year, and then just wrote a script from that.
Mm, okay. And, I mean, this is a cheeky question, and you don't have to answer it, but, like, I'm a radio host, and it's my job. Has anyone read the memoir?
No.
Safe space, respect the honesty.
No.
Okay, respect the honesty. I also am yet to read the memoir. But, I mean, we've got the play. And often when I get actors in the studio, I like to ask this question because I just find it interesting. But obviously you got to learn lines for the play. Do we have any line learning methods that we want to share?
Mine's just a pretty basic one of just going over it and then going back to it, going over, like moving forward, going back to it and just repeating over and over again.
Okay. Rhys, what's the method?
My method is just learn the lines, put them down, try and do it, and then if I can't do it, look at the line and then continue.
Okay, so you literally you put it so you can't see it and see how you can go.
Yep.
Okay, baller, I respect it. Get a lot of people do. Has anyone tried the like recording yourself or recording your cues? Nah. It's a lot.
Been told to try it, but to me it seems like too much effort.
Too much effort. Yeah, I'd rather put that effort into learning the lines.
Yeah.
I did have one person on That's the Ticket who's like, I've got a photographic memory. And I'm like, come on, man.
Lucky.
Yeah, they're like, I'll just look at it and then I can see it in my mind. And I'm like, ah. But I guess you guys have had quite a solid lead-in time for this. I mean, I'm going to assume that you're both relatively good on the line learning front because, you know, youth. Trained. I mean, do they teach that in the WinTech Performing Arts degree?
Yeah, they do, but then also it's sort of much just like your own, do it your own way. If you need help, obviously they'll give you some tips or anything, but most of the time it's just do it your own way.
Yeah, do it your own way. And I guess with this show, because you've had quite a long lead-in time with it, and this is my, I'm losing count of how many cheeky radio show host questions I'm asking, but this one is another cheeky one. But I always like to ask, like, are we ready to get this one in front of a crowd, or are you looking forward to it?
We're looking forward to it. I think it's just getting everyone together, getting the show going, and just seeing how we go. But it looks like it's going pretty well from...
Yeah.
How rehearsals have been going.
I mean, this is the thing. I always have the privilege of talking to people when they're like either in the midst of Tech Week or about to start Tech Week. And so they're all just like, look, I'm just at the theatre all the time. I'm just doing all this work. Whereas I'm like, oh, hey, guys, you're in a play. That sounds fun. Tell me about it. But I also find like when people talk about their rehearsal periods, because you've been like rehearsing and working with the same people over and over, like especially if there's jokes or anything in the play, it's like it's not that it gets stale, but like everyone's heard the jokes, everyone's heard the show. And so when you get new people in there, it kind of gives it a bit more life. And it's always a bit more exciting when you get in the theatre, right, and on the stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I assume you've... Well, I think I know you've both performed at the Meteor before, right? So there's some familiarity with that venue there, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess with the cast, you said that there's about like 10 to 12 of you?
Yeah, about 10, 11, yeah.
Like, how are the vibes?
It's a really good vibe because like a lot of us have worked with each other or others have worked with others in other projects. So everyone's got like their... own connections, and we all have like our own little scenes because most of us a lot of the cast actually play multiple different characters throughout the show, so they're switching.
Are you for real?
Yeah.
Okay, do you guys do any of that, or are you guys just yourself?
I also play the waiter, the second waiter.
Okay. And did you volunteer? No. Was this your first time playing more than one role?
No.
In one show? Okay. No, not fazed in the slightest.
And then me, I think I'm the only one who actually doesn't switch and play anybody else. I'm just Lubosch all the way through.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And actually, this is kind of circling back to the line learning. So, because you guys have both done other shows, like, how long do the lines stay in your head? Like, once you've finished the show, are they gone? Or do you reckon you've still got old lines in your head?
For me, usually it's like if it's something that I'm saying, it's something that sometimes you say like in everyday life, it'll pop into your head and then you're like, oh, that line's from this, but most of the time, like,
once maybe, it's done, you're like, okay, bye, I got to make room for another show.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay, Reese, what about you?
Now it's more like I just try and figure it out about it as soon as possible. But I used to, when I was in my first show, I knew every line from the entire show. Yeah. And I was just reciting it over and over again. And my dad kind of got sick of it.
I'm not surprised. No. Okay. And then off air, I'm doing that thing when I bring something we talked about off air on air. But because you talked about how this year you did your first Shakespeare, right?
Yeah.
And then you're talking about how you've done monologues from other Shakespeares.
Yeah.
Have you still got it in your head?
I've still got them. I've still got the monologue in my head because I'm doing that for other things.
Oh, okay. I mean, you know, if once you've got a monologue, might as well keep it in there. You never know when you need a good monologue. Yeah. If I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. Again, that's, I think I've rattled through all my like questions that I don't brief you on, but I always like to ask when I've got actors in the studio. But circling back to A Queen's Gambit. So like, and I guess I'm going to use a Shakespeare kind of metaphor for this, but like, would we class this as a comedy, a tragedy, or a history? You can mix if you wish.
This is more of a bit of a serious play.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of, like there is happy moments, but then a lot of it is quite serious and dramatic moments. So it's like.
I guess bonus category, realism.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeehaw. Let's do it.
Yeah. It's more so a history.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. And I guess with the Shakespeare, I asked you guys this off air. Do you have a favourite Shakespeare play?
Merry Wives of Windsor. So, done that before and absolutely loved doing it and loved the show.
And then, Reese, I told you that you were too young, so you got to read more Shakespeare's and then you can decide. But do you want to fight me on that?
Yeah, my favourite Shakespeare would be Timon of Athens.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about this guy who kind of spends all his, gives away all his money to all these people who he thinks are his friends.
Mm.
And then he, like, loses all his money.
Yeah.
And throughout the entire play, his steward, Flavius, is constantly warning him, stop spending your money. These people aren't your friends. Then he loses all his money and Flavius is like...
Told you so.
No, he's more so like, I'm going to stick with him even though he's spent all his money. I'm going to stick with him as long as I have money. I will basically, as he said, I'll be his steward still.
Oh, Flavius sounds like a good dude.
Yeah.
And where is Flavius the monologue that you've got?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, makes sense now. It's connecting. And actually, looking at a Czech gambit, because obviously it's Czech, do you guys have to speak other languages in this play, or is it all English?
It is in English, but how Russell has wrote the script, written the script, he has written one text in English and the other in Czechoslovakian.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So the script has both scripts in there. Obviously, when we got told we were doing the English version, we were like, yay!
Yeah.
But in the English version, there is some Czechoslovakian words in that just for, like, names of places where they're going in that. But other than that, I think that's it.
Are you guys doing accents or are you just doing kind of, like, your own voice?
Our own voices.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Have we done any accent work in the past in other shows?
Yes. I've done quite a lot.
Okay. Both of you? Reese, what have you done?
Of course, I had to do an old man voice for...
Oh, that's not an accent. Yeah, old man voice. Okay. Yeah.
But also Sherlock Holmes and the Baker Street Irregulars.
British accent?
Cockney.
Oh, that's right. It's coming back to me now.
I played young Wiggins. So.
Yes, you did. Okay. Jeez. Bro's got range. Dylan, what have you done? You're like, what haven't I done?
Yeah, Irish.
Oh, okay.
Welsh.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Scottish.
Okay.
British, American.
Okay, so we've got the whole United Kingdom down.
Yeah.
and American.
And then there's probably a couple more, but, yeah, been a lot of accents that I've done. Oh,
okay.
And if you count LOLO, German as well.
Yes, well, yes, actually, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I really want to ask you to do your old man voice, but you don't have to.
Oh, it's okay. I am Bardolf, by the way.
That, okay, it's a pleasure to meet you, mate. That was brilliant. You just had that ready to go. Wow, okay, are you classically trained? I'm being silly, but that was quite a good old man voice. Oh, I won't get you to do the Cockney one either. Now I'm just like asking you to perform, but I will break for an important segment. And if you listen to That's the Ticket before, you may be familiar with this one. So it's time for Rick's pick. And the way that this works is I have an Uncle Rick. He's a great listener of music, great listener of radio. And he actually volunteers down at Rivoli in the shed sometimes. So he's probably worked on sets that you guys have, acted around, engaged with in some capacity. But when I started That's the Ticket, what episode are you guys? 263 episodes ago. He was like, hey, Hannah, here's a list of songs that I like, and each week you can pick a song from the list and play Rick's pick. And each week we have, and I like it because it makes my job easier because it means I don't have to pick a song. And no one asks, but I've now decided to do this thing where I pick a song that's on theme with the people I'm talking to or what we're talking about. And so I've gone for a song called It's All in the Game by Tommy Edwards because chess, you know. Sometimes I get a bit English, you say, with the reasoning behind why I picked the song. But Ungerick, as always, thank you for your picks. And I hope you enjoy this one. Here's some Tommy Edwards.
Many a deer has to fall, but it's all in the game. And a while he won't call, but it's all in the game. Soon he'll be there at your side with a sweet bouquet.
That was this week's Rick's Pick, Tommy Edwards. It's All in the Game. And the game has been on today. Oh, my segues need some work. But I've got a couple of the cast in from A Czech Gambit, which is opening at the Meteor soon. end of June, running through until the start of July. More info and tickets available now at themeteor.co.nz. And if you're just joining us, I've been having a chat to Dylan and Reese, who are both in the show and playing the same role but different ages. We've discussed how, in a positive way, it's kind of weird because you're also representing someone who actually existed, because, like, the play is based off a memoir, and the play has also had its premiere in Czechoslovakia and now it's premiering Hamilton. Bit to unpack there, but super cool. And we've kind of touched on this a bit, but I'm going to kind of circle back because that seems to be my catchphrase today, how you guys, this isn't your first show, you're no strangers to the stage, kind of local pros in your own right here. But does anyone have any other upcoming projects? Obviously, we're focusing on A Czech Gambit because that's opening very soon. But does anyone have any other upcoming projects that they want to talk about or can talk about?
I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this. I think I am. Yeah, no, I think
that's
I am.
It's all right. It's just us and maybe some people listening. It's all good.
Yeah. So, Y Cotta Actor Training.
Oh, yes.
Wally Pug of Y.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you in that?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm playing the gardener, and again, I'm playing a, this is my second time playing a villain sidekick.
Okay.
I'm playing the cockatoo.
Okay. The second time playing the villain sidekick.
Yep.
Have we got a bit of a vibe? What's that about?
Old men or villain sidekick, apparently.
Yeah, okay. Actually, I think I had, is Georgia directing that one?
Yes.
And she was directing the one last year, because is this, is it still within Oz or is this something else?
No, this is something else. This is in Y.
Okay. I can kind of keep up. I'm trying, but you are very helpful. Were you in the one last year as well?
Yes, I was playing the, that's where I played the villain sidekick.
Okay, it's connecting now. Okay. One day maybe you'll make it to villain. No, I'm kidding. Or plot twist, you play someone who isn't villainous in any way. That will be weird for everyone involved.
Technically, the gardener is not villainous, but, like,
yeah,
he's an old man, so.
Jeez, why do you keep playing more than one role, Reese? What's that about, man?
I don't know.
Yeah, and you just, you, obviously you can keep all the lines in your head and all the blocking for two different parts in your head. Well done. Okay, and as we've touched on, you're playing two roles in Czech Gambit as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Keep it up. Anything else coming up that you want to talk about? All good. Dylan, you got anything else on the books, mate?
Not at the moment.
Okay. So. I mean, keywords being not at the moment,
yeah.
They always find a way. You certainly always find your way on stage, don't
exactly.
you?
Exactly.
How many shows have you been? Is this your only show so far this year?
Yes.
Okay. That's pretty good for you.
Yeah, exactly. At least doing a show a year. That's my goal. So, yeah.
Yeah, man. Okay. Great. And we've kind of talked about creative histories, but I'm going to put you guys on the spot again because we've both got quite a few performances that we've done collectively in the space, but do we have any favourites?
Definitely one of mine would have been doing Dirty Rotten Scoundrels through Wintec.
Okay, yep.
Was really interesting having to do a French accent all throughout the show, so.
Okay, another accent.
Exactly.
Okay. Reese, favourite role that you've played?
Probably my, either Bardolph
okay.
in Merry Wives of Windsor.
Yep.
Or I've had a mind blank.
That's okay. Safe
villain
space.
Last year.
Oh, the villain last year.
Yeah.
Was it Oz the Grand Powerful?
No, it was, I was the young, munchkin boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
The mime in the studio was great as well. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Or Michael, my first role.
Yeah. Was that the play, eh? It wasn't the musical of Peter Pan?
No, it was not the musical.
To get in the musical, then you've, full circle moment. You've played Michael in the play and Michael in the musical.
I think I'm too old now.
You reckon you've aged out of it?
Yeah.
I mean, you've definitely height-wise, you're the same height as Dylan. So, you know, again, we're talking about very visual things in a very non-visual setting because, you know, no one else can see us. We're just talking about it. And then I want to ask another chess question. So if now that you've been playing quite a lot of chess, do you think that you will continue to play chess once the show is over?
Possibly. Could be a good thing to take up as a bit of a hobby,
yeah,
as well as doing theatre, but
yeah,
yeah, it could be a good thing to start doing.
And have you ever played chess against yourself? Because that's a thing, right? That's how people practice chess?
Yeah, pretty sure most people practice against themselves or play against themselves, but yeah, it would be interesting. Never done it, but it would be interesting.
Have you guys played chess against each other?
No.
Okay. Let's make that happen. And have you played chess against your dad?
Yes, I lost, but
I was hoping you beat him.
I think I'm at the level to beat him now.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, let's make it happen. And next time you're on that certificate ticket, because I'm sure it's going to happen, we can circle back and see how that went. And then I've got one last question that I want to ask you guys that I like to ask guests when they come on That's the Ticket, which is, you've been here on TTT giving me the tea, the inside scoop on a Czech gambit. So my last question for you is, if you're going to have a cup of tea, how do you take tea? How do you have it? And does anyone actually drink tea?
No.
Okay. What do you drink?
I drink Milo.
Milo?
Yeah.
Hot Milo or cold Milo?
Hot Milo.
Okay. How many spoonfuls of Milo in the Milo?
I'm only allowed one.
Okay. Respect the honesty. What do you drink?
I'm a coffee addict.
Oh, addict. How many coffees?
Usually two or three a day.
Okay. What type of coffees?
Either just instant at home or if I'm out, a mocha, okay, usually.
Is there milk in the instant or are you just straight?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say coffee addict. Are you just like honing long blacks left, right and centre?
I used to, but not anymore.
Okay. Two to three, bro.
Yep.
What happens if you don't have two?
Just so tired all the time.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
just
yeah.
Not motivated to do anything.
Okay, have you tried tea?
I don't like it.
Oh, you're breaking my heart.
I know.
I mean, I don't know. Have you tried tea? Maybe you're too young for tea.
No.
I mean, Milo's a good shout. Do you have sugar in your Milo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wait, no, I'm not allowed.
You're not allowed? Fair. You have milk in the Milo, right?
Yes.
Okay, sweet. I'm like, respect, if it's Milo and hot water, like, you're allowed, but I'm like, whew, you need some milk to, like, balance it out.
Yeah.
I think you might be my first Milo on That's the Ticket. Congrats.
Thanks. It's
an important title. But, I mean, I guess thank you for you guys for coming in and having a chat. I'm aware that there's kind of a lot going on right now with the show opening coming up real fast, and I want to say break a leg. Do we know what that means, or does it just sound like I'm threatening you?
Yeah, I know what it means.
Please explain for the room.
It's like good luck, but like it's bad luck to say good luck.
Correct.
To an actor. Also, it came from like breaking the leg is going through the
curtains.
Yep. Because they used to be called legs. So.
Yes.
Breaking the leg means you're going onto stage and doing your job.
Yes, that is one theory. I think that one is probably the most legit. Other people speculate that you break a leg when you bend a knee and you bow, so it's like the show is over. And then, yeah, it's that whole thing of the worst thing that can happen is you break your leg, so you say the worst thing so that the opposite of that happens. Mm. But I agree with you, Rhys, in that it is the breaking of the legs, the curtains. And, yeah, I mean, I can say good luck because we're technically not in the theatre, so yeah. It's not bad luck. Do you know about Macbeth as well?
Yes.
It felt weird saying it, eh? I very rarely say it in my life, even though that superstition, do you know the origin of that one?
No, I do not.
Okay, get ready to get learned. nah. So it's bad luck to say Macbeth in the theatre because back in the day when a theatre was doing badly, they would put on Shakespeare's Macbeth because it would always bring a crowd. But it's bad luck because when they put on Macbeth, it meant that the theatre was doing badly and so the actors were less likely to get paid, or they get paid less because they're like, this is our last ditch attempt to like get people in, so we put on Macbeth. So you don't, you call it the Scottish play in the theatre. And then do you know about the whistling superstition? So this is now just me sharing everything I know. You don't whistle in the theatre because back in the day, the people on the fly floor who were pulling scenery in and out, that's how they used to communicate. They used to whistle. And so if you're walking across the stage and you're whistling, you could get something dropped on your head. Yeah. Thanks for listening to my TED Talk. Thanks for coming on That's the Ticket. Break a leg, team. And to my lovely listeners, you can bet that I'll be back soon with a fresh episode of That's the Ticket. But until then, I'm going to play us out with another song from Chess the Musical because I'm a fan. So the first one I played, One Night in Bangkok, was from the original Chess. This one is from the revival of Chess, which is closing on Broadway soon, I think. That's had Aaron Tveit and Lea Michele in it. The song's called The Arbiter. Do we know what The Arbiter is? So they're the person when people are competing in chess that they're kind of like the ref for the chess game. To kind of make sure everyone's paying by the rules and not cheating and stuff. But it's just like a real zazzy number, so I thought I would end on a high. But yeah, to my lovely listeners, I'll be back soon with a fresh episode. But until then, enjoy this one, team.
I've a duty as the referee at the start of the match. On behalf of all our sponsors, I must welcome you, which I do, there's a catch. I don't care if you're a champion, no one messes with me. I am ruthless in upholding what I know is right, black or white, as you'll see. I'm on the case,
he's on the case.
People, any objection, tis overruled. Yes, I'm the arbiter and I know better. Seen in the past, chanting gurus, walkie-talkies, walkouts, hypnotists, tempers, fists, not so fast. This is not the start of World War III, no political ploys. I think both your constitutions are terrific, so now you know, be good boys.
Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.